Community Services District room. This is the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District. This is our call to order. Ms. Simpson, roll call, please.
Chair Jeff Lee.
Here.
Vice Chair Karen White.
Here.
Director Karen Ray Messon.
Here.
We are here and have a quorum, and my mouth will hopefully start to work, but we will look for Ms. Shields to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
Ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. That takes us to agenda review. Any questions to my left?
No, sir.
Questions to my right?
No, sir.
We'll consider that approval to proceed as published. So with that, we'll go to public comments on items not appearing on the agenda. Let me first see if there's any member of the public that wants to come forward and speak on any item not on the agenda for up to 3 minutes. Seeing no one rush forward, we'll close public comment, bring it back for the consent agenda. Any questions on the consent agenda to my right?
No, sir.
To my left?
No.
Let's open it up to the public to see if there's any members that want to speak on the consent agenda. Seeing no one come forward, let's bring it back for consideration.
Mr. Chair, I will move that we approve the items 5A and 5B, approval of warrants and approval of meeting minutes of August 3rd, 2022, as published.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Yes.
Director White?
Yes.
Director Lee?
Yes.
Director Ray Russell?
Yes.
And
motion
carries. Very good. We have an approved.
You're pointing at me. I saw you out of the corner of my eye. I'm like, you.
And that takes us to our action items, where 6A is a contract for WWTP, Wastewater Treatment Plant Redundancy Project Administration Services with MKN and Associates. I anticipate this will probably be Mr. Jennings.
Yes, good evening, Jeremy Gent, District Administrator. The item before you is a contract for Redundancy Project Administration Services with MKN. This will be their fourth and should be the final contract for completion of the project. And what we have is a contract for $119,449 for the next 12 months. And that is intended to take us through completion of the project. The MKN provided some fiscal analysis, and I wanted to walk through a little bit on the table and just reiterate some of this. So this has always been a not to exceed type of contract, and MKN has consistently stayed within their budget, and we initially estimated for services to cost $535,000 to have these services throughout. And it looks like we're going to spend about $469,000 to complete that work. So kudos to MKN. They've provided good service. The project's on schedule. The project's on budget. We're in regulatory compliance. So this should be another successful year with them in front of us. And with that, I'll rest and answer any questions that your board might have on the item.
Thank you for that presentation. Any questions to my left?
No, sir.
Questions to my right?
No.
Let me open this up to the public, see if any members of the public want to speak on this item. Ms. Shields, I don't know if you want to speak on behalf of MKN. You don't have to. Okay. Seeing no one come forward, I'll close it to the public and bring it back for consideration.
Well, before we do, I just want to basically say thank you to MKN. Mm-hmm. And this is the kind of thing I want to tell taxpayers we did. So you make us look really good. So thank you for that.
I will concur with those comments. Thank you.
Yes. Definitely, considering how shaky before it got started things had been. It's really been just a smooth sail.
So with that, Mr. Chair, I will move that we... Wait a minute. I'm trying to find it. Papers. That we authorize the district administrator to execute a contract for continued wastewater treatment plant redundancy project administration services with NCAN and Associates in the amount of $119,449 for the next 12 months.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Roll call, please. Ms. Simpson.
Director White?
Yes.
Chair Lee?
Yes.
Director Ray Russell?
Yes.
Very good. We have an approved contract, which takes us to item 6B, the redundancy project update. So we'll start with Mr. Gentry. Do we start with Ms. Shields?
So I'll go ahead and start and turn it over to Ms. Shields. So the item before you is an update, a quarterly update to the wastewater redundancy project. And I'm actually going to start with a compilation of a video of some of the drone flights. You've seen some of it, and there's a couple. There's seven segments, and that the video ends with last night. Last night we had a plant shut down. Staff was at the plant, including Michael, at 2 a.m. till 6 this morning, doing work, and then continued to stay at the plant till I don't know. You went home maybe noon, took a couple hours naps, and he's joining us here tonight. So kudos to Michael. He helped out the contractor. We had the shutoff flow to the plant while they made a major connection. It's the last major connection we had to make. So it's truly a monumental moment that all of the pipeline connections, all the major pipeline connections have been made. So the project is moving along. And so let me kick off this video here. So I'll narrate a bit. So this is February of 2021, that before the plant was disturbed. You can see the green field in the foreground. Only the construction trailers are on site at this point, and no activity had begun. The video is about 5 minutes long, so 3 months later, in May of 2021, you can see the stone column work, the soil modification that had to be done for the concrete structures. The large cranes drilling holes, those holes are being filled with rock and compacted, and that's what provides a suitable foundation during earthquake and liquefaction to prevent the structures from settling. Three months later, in August of 2021, we'll come in and we'll see the excavation. So we're seeing sheeting and shoring in the mass excavation, the soil that had to be removed to construct the secondary clarifier and the aeration basins. So November 2021, full COVID, everybody's masked up, everybody's trying to keep the project moving. Concrete work, form work, you can see in the foreground, the aeration basin is coming up, the crane's removing some forms, and you can see the bottom of the secondary clarifier coming together, and some work around the blower building in the lower left rectangle. February 2022, this year, you can see the concrete work's largely completed. So May 2022, you can see the roof's now on the blower building. The center column of the secondary clarifier is installed. You can start to see the major pipeline corridor. There'll be some closer footage of that. There's the pipeline corridor. This video has more footage of it. The green structure in the lower left is the new generator. You can see the cover on the secondary clarifier equipment. That's for the final paint coating, the white cover. And there's the pipeline corridor. That's where staff and Phelons worked last night. And if we look today, that secondary clarifier is now full of water and in operation. It started operation on Monday of this week. So our first piece of equipment is up and running. And I'd like to just take a moment and thank the community and the board for allowing me to deliver the project and move it forward. It's been a great experience. It's one of the better projects I've worked on in my career so far. So last night, this goes fast. And so that's the end of the video. And so thanks. At this point, I'd like to turn the presentation over to Ms. Shields so she can provide you with an update on the schedule and the status of the budget and an overall status of the project.
Thank you, Mr. Gent. So I'd just like to echo the gratitude for, you know, to the board and the community for being part of the project. It's been exciting. It's been a significant role for MKN, and we've really enjoyed working with Mr. Gent, Mr. Jones, everybody at the CSD, and you know, the board provided gratitude for bringing the project in, you know, under budget, and I think really that credit goes to the whole team. And I would give huge kudos to KJ as the design engineer and Canon and their other sub-consultants, as well as M&S. Megan Panofsky, your resident engineer on the project's done an outstanding job. And she really makes it pretty straightforward and a lot more easy for us to track the budget, track the schedule, the permitting, everything that's going on. And I'd be remiss to not mention her, as well as, you know, Phelons and their project manager. It took a little bit for us to get to know each other and form a working group, but it's gone really smoothly. So we couldn't be happier with the progress to date. So I'm not going to read through all of this. I think that video was a really good summary of the work that's occurred to date, but I did want to go through the schedule tracking and the budget tracking and then see if you all had any questions for me on the project overall. So I'll point out that the schedule summary and the budget summary was drafted in late September. We are, you know, a little more than 600 days into the project, the 900-day project. And, you know, to date we have a little less than 300 days left. It's noted in this schedule summary that the contract completion date is set at July 15th, 2023, and as you recall, that's based on the notice to proceed date, the contract duration, and then change order days and weather days adjusting. The line below it notes a scheduled completion date of August 3rd, 2023, and that was based on the contractor's August 1st schedule, and I wanted to report to you that more recent schedules have pulled that completion date forward. We're anticipating currently a completion date in late June, so within the contract terms. So we're excited about that. And again, stuff can change with construction projects, as you know, but we're on target to finish earlier. As far as the budget summary, we did have some contract change orders since our last report to you. The change order percentage as a total is at 1.1%. We're looking at just under $300,000 in addition to the contract award amount. So the current contract is at $27,237,000. Earnings to date is just over $20 million, about $20.4 million, which is about 75% complete. So I included a brief summary of the change orders that had been executed since our last report. Change order 7 we had discussed during the previous update, and so that was executed in June. Consisted primarily of adding the bridge for the aeration basin, some modifications to some flood walls, and a few credits. So all in all, that total came to about $139,000. I think the work change directive was somewhere around $180,000, if I remember correctly. So part of that was a bit lower of a final cost, but it also included some utility credits to the district for, you know, water and electricity that the contractor had been using. There were two change orders that were executed in September, change order 8 and 9. So I did note in here, those aren't included in the attachments in the executive summaries from MNS because those are from the previous months, but I wanted to note it as occurring in September. So there, change order 8 was primarily miscellaneous small costs and credits that the district's construction manager was tracking with the contractor. The largest cost was adding electric winches to the cranes, the aeration basins, and so that'll really provide operational flexibility and ease of getting equipment out of the aeration basins. And then some of the reductions were reduced bypass pumping volumes, and again, this is the team coming together and talking about what's practical, what's required, and what would be acceptable. And so any kind of changes that result in less work for the contractor is tracked, and there's a cost or a credit put to that that comes back to the district. Some decreased depths and duct bank installation, so reduced requirements for specific installations there, and then again, a utility usage true-up. So that change order 8 was $42,583. Change order 9 was a relatively small change order, but it's documenting a revision in startup and commissioning and kind of the order of work. And again, this is a area where the team came together and started throwing out ideas of ways to change the order of work and change how the design was anticipated in resulting in a mutual benefit for both the contractor and the district. So there is some cost up front for the contractor to implement these changes, but we really see a significant value for the district and the contractor in being able to finish early and finish substantial portions of the work earlier than anticipated. So that's in the total amount of $10,900. So overall, our total construction contract, which is the bid and the change orders, were $27.2 million. We've spent about $20.4 million, and our balance to finish is anticipated at $6.8 million. We've got a construction contingency of just under $2.9 million still on reserve as needed. We don't anticipate other significant construction costs to date. All our PG&E fees are paid, our permit fees are paid. So in total, construction costs are about $30.3 million, including that contingency, leaving a balance of $9.7 million. But again, that's including the contingency that might not be spent. professional services costs, we have a budget of just under $6.9 million. We're about $5 million in, and this includes your design, your construction manager, biological monitoring, MKN's contract for project administration. So we've spent about $5 million. We've got about $1.9, a little less than $1.9 anticipated. And the remainder from the previous budget for MKN's contract was added back to the professional services contingency. So our professional services contingency is about $214 million. Not million, thousand. 214 million. 1,000. Thank you. So the rest of the report contains a summary of work. I think the video, you know, video speaks a lot louder than words. But if there's any questions on any of that, I'm happy to entertain.
Let's see if there's questions to my left. Questions to my right?
No questions, no.
Very good. Just two very quick questions, probably one for you and then one for Mr. Gent. So the spent to date is about 75,000. The scheduled to date is about, 75%. And the time to date is about 68%. And so I anticipate that the difference is the fact that material costs have been front loaded. For those, so that, which is why we've spent more than the schedule, even though it is fairly close. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, I would say that's likely accurate. A lot of the materials are purchased ahead of time, as you know. So that's probably a good assessment.
Okay. Very good. And then the question for Mr. Gent is, so we have I'll just call it still a potential construction contingency of about $2.9 million. With the crystal ball of anticipation that we're not going to use all of that, when does the district start to plan what to do with those contingency savings, whether it becomes back for financing savings or repayment of debt payment on the project, or when does that discussion start?
So once we finalize the construction contract, make sure there's no claims, handle all the claims, we would then look to utilize that money to some benefit to the project debt, most likely, looking into my crystal ball, as you said. So what likely would happen is once we have finalized completion and let the contractor go, I would come back with a recommendation, and we would put whatever remains of that contingency would likely be used to pay debt service down earlier to further leverage those savings and avoid paying interest on future debt.
Right, but that would be a conversation after the time of notice of completion for the full project.
Correct. You know, the contractor still has ability to file claims, and you know, those could be discussed at the end of the project, and we could incur more costs. And the other thing that I continue to mention is we've started up the secondary clarifier now. We still have to start up the aeration basins and the blowers and the MCC. And to date, we've done really well with contract change orders with just the 1.1%. But starting up is another unknown risk, right? So everything has to work when we turn it on, and if it doesn't work, we have to make it work. And so that, there's a risk that still exists that some of that equipment won't work as designed because we haven't proven it yet. So that's the only real remaining risk. Our schedule looks good. It looks like we'll be within schedule. That saves substantial costs, because as soon as your schedule goes over, we're paying more for construction inspection than we anticipated. We're paying more for contracting than we inspected, more for environmental monitoring, more for MKN support. So the schedule is really important to maintain a tight budget. To answer your question, we would likely be looking at early payoff of some of the district's debt.
Okay, great. Very good. Did that generate questions or comments?
No. Oh, I just had one comment.
Okay.
I wonder if this district had started to consider this project at this point instead of when they did, if it could have been done. If you just look at what's happened in the last 4 years, as far as material costs and as far as everything.
Yeah, our timing, it's largely luck rather than planning, but the economics of what has transpired since we began and where we have now, both on interest rates and construction costs, you would be looking at a substantially different cost and debt service. And likely today, we're building a project that our rates can handle. If we tried to build that project today, we would have to increase rates to be able to achieve it, because the $30 million project would likely be 40 or even 45 right now if we bid it today. Based on what's happening with bid pricing. Mm-hmm.
Just as, you know, the district can take credit for doing it when it should have been done, I guess you can say.
Yeah, and we were targeting the bond sale. We knew interest rates were going down. We were working with USDA. They communicated that there would be an upcoming decrease, and so we knew when we wanted to fund it. And so that was somewhat intentional on when we did the bond sale to capitalize on the lowest interests.
Yeah.
Very good. Great. So with that, let me open it up to the public. Seeing no one come forward to speak on this item, we'll close it and say thank you to Ms. Shields and MKN and to district staff for the hard work, and thank you for keeping this moving forward. That takes us to item 6C, which is a contract for coastal hazard monitoring with RINCON Consultants. Mr. Gent.
Good evening, Jeremy Gent, District Administrator. The item before you is a contract for coastal hazard monitoring with RINCON Consultants. Again, this it's similar to MKN. This is their fourth annual contract. This contract serves to satisfy a coastal condition with construction of the redundancy project. One of the things we have to do as long as we're sited there is monitor the site for coastal hazards and report to the Coastal Commission every year whether we have any type of flood events, any type of damage from water, any changes in creek flows, and this is documented every year. So this cost will continue every year, and we are looking at scaling some of the reporting down. We do have the ability to engage the Coastal Commission and say, one of the things we're looking at right now, every half inch of rain, RINCON comes out and photographs the entire site within 48 hours of the half inch of rain. If it's just a half an inch of rain and they show up 24 or 48 hours, they're taking pictures of dry land. And so we've documented that enough years that we know we can move that threshold and still have complete meaning to the reporting that we're doing. And so that's one of the things we've worked with RINCON. This next report, we're going to engage the Coastal Commission and say, hey, we're going to recommend moving our threshold, which we get to do. This is a they tell us we have to have this program, we have to implement it. So we're going to move that threshold. So that will greatly reduce just moving from a half inch to 1 inch, the frequency that they'll have to come to the site goes, it's not just cut in half, it's a huge factor down because the occurrences of 1 inch of rainfall is much less than the half inches of rainfall that we get seasonally. So I did want to tell the board that this is a cost that we'll expect to see every year. It won't always have to be RINCON. You know, we can have go out to bid, but certainly through the duration of construction, they're on site anyways. They do our frog monitoring for monitoring in conjunction with the construction, separate contract. But since they're already there, it does continue to make sense to continue with them providing this service, at least for the next 12 months.
Very good. Thank you for that presentation. Let's see if there's any questions to my left.
If I agree to pay that extra 10%, will you guarantee us some rain to utilize it? I'd love to think we were actually going to use this.
Yeah, and it's not been utilized in the past because there have not been enough events for them to even come out for the half inch rainfall events. Yeah.
Is frog monitoring?
God bless you.
Yeah. Is frog monitoring just through the construction, or is that something that has to be done all the time?
That's just for the duration of construction.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just wondered.
Very good. And I didn't have any questions. Let's see if there's any members of the public that want to speak on this item. Seeing no one come forward, we'll bring it back for consideration.
Your turn, Karen.
Okay. Make a motion. We approve a contract for coastal hazard mitigation with RINCON Consulting. Is that right?
It's coastal hazard monitoring.
Coastal hazard monitor.
Monitoring, yeah.
Monitoring. Second.
Very good. We have a motion and a second. Ms. Simpson, roll call, please.
Director White?
Yes.
Director Lee?
Yes.
Director Ray Russell?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Very good. We have a completed work on that item, which takes us to 6D, the District Administrator and Plant Operations Report. I guess I anticipate we'll start with Mr. Jones.
Yes.
Very good.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen of the board. Michael Jones, plant superintendent. I'm presenting the plant operations report for the reporting period of August 1st through September 30th. During this period, the district's facility met its permit limitations as required under the state of California's National Pollutant Discharge Elimination System permit issued to the district. Right below that, you'll see a summary of monthly plant data for August 2022 and September 2022. All of our numbers, again, have been well within permit limitations and continue to be that way. If you recall your board at the August 2022 meeting, you guys had some questions regarding our permit exceedances and when those would essentially expire. And so what I've added to the plant operations report are those 2022 permit exceedances for the May 19th, July 14th, and July 20th. And then I've also included when those expire. So the May 19th will expire November 15th, the July 14th exceedance will expire January 10th, and the July 20th will expire January 16th. Moving forward, operations and maintenance tasks that staff performed are as follows. We checked and marked underground service alerts, repaired our front gates, repaired our digester thermal shutoff due to a minimal leak. We rehabilitated our bandsaw. We prepared parts for dechlorination system improvement project. We dismantled our rental centrifuge polymer system and auger. We flushed our fixed film reactor, drained and rinsed our chlorine contact tank, rinsed new chemical injection lines, and installed new valves in preparation for use. We fabricated new latch for chemical building, unclogged our drain in our heating and mixing building. We assisted Enviro with installation of our flow meters and pressure sensors in preparation for integration into our supervisory control and data acquisition system. We assisted Larry Walker and Associates with our local limit sampling for the district's pretreatment program update project. Installed new air conditioning thermostat controller, replaced blown fuses on centrifuge auger and placed back into operation, replaced our fixed film reactor feed pump split seal, Enviro was in and installed new PLC and updated programming, installed new stainless steel check valves on our reclaimed water pumping system, and created a new Hawkwims dashboard for daily operations. Staff also completed multiple work orders and performed preventative maintenance on multiple pieces of district equipment. Some training that staff participated in was that we attended a Hawkwims training at the City of San Luis Obispo Water Resource Recovery Facility. Staff trained in our laboratory on district analysis that we perform in-house, and then prior to starting up our new secondary clarifier, staff had training on the operation and maintenance of that clarifier. We did have some call-outs during this reporting period. We had a call-out August 16th for a low battery alarm on our security system. Operation staff contacted Stanley Security to service and replace the battery on the security system. September 14th, we had an error with chlorine contact tank PLC. Operation staff responded and contacted Enviro to resolve the issue with our SCADA PLC. We also had an additional call out that day at 5:10 p.m. and a building door was left unlocked, causing a security alarm. Operation staff responded, closed, and locked that door. On September 16th, 18th, and 19th, we had a high final ORP. Operation staff responded to all call outs and adjusted disinfection control settings. New settings have optimized operation, and staff has not received a call out since. And those call outs were following the installation of our new diffuser. And so we hadn't quite had settings with the new installation, so we made some adjustments, and we haven't had a call out since regarding that high final ORP. September 23rd, we had a WIN 911 alarm. It's a new call out system. We were testing for full operation due to the system still needing updates. Staff stopped testing until the system is fully operational.
Stop doing that.
Yeah. Our dechlorination system improvement project, on August 31st, operations staff performed a midnight shutdown of the wastewater treatment plant to perform the successful installation of a new diffuser to dechlorinate the district's chlorinated effluent. Staff originally went through an informal bidding process, and due to the current bidding environment, costs were substantially higher than anticipated. After a review with the design team and operations staff, Staff proceeded with performing the installation in-house. The successful installation of the The successful installation of the dechlorination diffuser equated to a total cost savings for the district of nearly $50,000. In addition, the dechlorination diffuser allows staff to operate the disinfection system more effectively.
For real.
Thank you. Staff did a great job with that. Thank you. With that, I have some photos of staff. You have them? Oh, thanks, Sarah. I have Ms. Frost working hard in our lab. She's performing our total suspended solids analysis. In the next photo, I have Mr. Billy Romhild and Mr. Justin Music. They're working on our temporary chemical lines. In the next photo, I have Mr. Mario DeLeon working with Seifert Services on installation of our new flow meters on our number two digester sludge pumping lines. And then in the next pictures is of our diffuser installation during our midnight shutdown. I have Mr. Chris Rigoni and Mario setting up our davit crane for our confined space entry. In the next photo, I have Mr. Mario DeLeon working on our chemical pumps in our chemical building. And then in this photo, I have Mr. Justin Music and Mr. Chris Rigoni installing the new diffuser in our chlorine contact tank. And the next photo is of me and Mr. Mario DeLeon.
That's a great picture.
We were doing our best job watching over Justin and Chris Rigoni. And yeah, there's just more photos of staff performing that installation and midnight shutdown. And then the final photo is a good photo of Mr. Justin Music and Chris Rigoni in the confined space. And with that, that concludes my report, and I can answer any questions or pass it over to Jeremy for the district administrator's report.
Very good. Thank you for that report. Let's see if there's questions to my left.
I don't have questions. I just have a comment. So considering that we will have at least one new director here, if not two, I like the addition as a permanent addition about the expiration of the permit exceedances. I think that helps keep everybody, even when we have alternates here, I think that's a really good addition. So thank you for that.
Okay. Questions to my right?
None.
Very good. I did have just one question to kind of follow up on Mrs. Ray Russum's question about the permit exceedances. So it looks like the first one drops off November 15th. And so if I remember correctly, we get basically three within a certain amount of allocated amount of time before we get an automatic fine. And so we basically have about 3 weeks left.
Don't jinx it. Why did you bring that up?
So before our one, the most current one falls off the exceedance. Is that, am I understanding that correctly?
Correct. Great. Yeah, and in addition, in anticipation of startup of our new activated sludge process, we're working on a report and basically to the water board, which allows us to essentially not get fined during the startup of the new we basically supply an operations plan. And with that, they'll kind of give us kind of a variance, essentially. We still have to report our violations, but we won't necessarily be fined for those violations. So we're working on that, and that'll be probably part of one of the upcoming phases of our project. We'll get that submitted, and then it'll give us, I believe it's a 90-day period where we can kind of get our activated sludge process up and running. And if we have violations, we won't necessarily get fined for those.
Okay.
Excellent.
Could be kind of truthing the system at that point.
Yes.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. Mr. Gent.
Good evening. Jeremy Gent, District Administrator. And I do want to take a moment and on the applause and just because those were sincerely deserved. And when staff and Michael just kind of read it all factually, but when staff heard what the bids came in for that project, they were offended. And they were like, we're going to do it. And so I just couldn't be more proud of the fact that they're willing to engage at that level. When they see something that seems like the district is being taken advantage of, they will make adjustments and get the work done. And so when they did that and decided that they were going to do the shutdown themselves, they constructed the diffuser themselves. Justin went out in the shop and spent several days putting piping together, drilling holes in it. And so the diffuser is constructed in-house. All the piping and plumbing was done in-house. The confined space was done by our operators. And so there was really no outside costs involved at all. So thanks, Michael and crew, for everything that
for
you do.
Yeah. Do it.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely a lot of trust in what they can do. And so I had no doubt that they would get that work done. So
again,
yeah, I wanted to pause and recognize that.
And they'll always know how to fix it.
Actually, that was going to be my next question. Obviously, the operations and maintenance becomes that much more practical because you know how it went together.
Yeah, so we can maintain it. We can redo it. They configured it in a way that if we wanted to go back to the old diffuser that was previously installed, that we could switch back to it and take this one out or replace it, repair it. So they did a great job. So moving on. Couple items for district administration report. Quarterly update for the redundancy was provided tonight, but I do have a few other things. We talked, the newly constructed secondary clarifier has been placed in operation. Operations staff, we now have biweekly meetings with Perk Water. That's our operational startup consultant to establish best practices and standard operating procedures for various new equipment and processes. If you recall, a few months ago, we awarded a contract to Perk Water to provide these services. And what they do is they supplement operator expertise largely. These are technical operation folks, work that can't necessarily be replaced by engineering type consultants. These are firms that are particularly knowledgeable about the activated sludge process. It's a new process to the district. And staff hasn't been fully trained, and so this contract provides some of that training, and these meetings provide some of that training in how we will accomplish getting everybody up to speed and develop best practices and have everything written down that we need. So that's ongoing right now. And then, you know, we did talk about, and Michael worked last night, but the other thing to mention is a week ago, 7 days prior to that, there was another shutdown and staff worked overnight. So we have two more for electrical tie-ins that staff will have to participate in. But other than that, that should be the last anticipated overnight work for the redundancy project from staff. A couple miscellaneous items that I wanted to talk about. The district canceled two consecutive meetings due to scheduling conflicts with some of the board members. These same two consecutive conflicts occur annually, and this has happened before. It's not always a direct conflict with us, but looking at it now that we know this can happen, I intend to pre-plan to either move to these second meetings, the third Wednesday in these months to accommodate that so that we don't have... this happened piecemeal, so the September got canceled, and then found out a little bit shortly after that there was a conflict for October, too. So it made it a little bit awkward, and so I don't want the public to think that there's any reason we're not meeting, so I'd like to try to figure out a way to not have that long of a gap. Moss Levy Hartsheim, the district's financial auditing team firm, is currently auditing the district finances. That work did complete this past Monday. They do a quick interview. They give me a snapshot. They said no significant findings. They still have to draft the audit and provide it to us. And so they still have time to consider other things, but no significant findings in the audit. I continue to participate in the science panel for technical support in conjunction with the county's Meadow Creek Lagoon Restoration Project. We meet regularly with technical folks to steer the county's decisions on how they're going to restore the lagoon. There's a Central Coast water reuse educational meeting on machine learning and artificial intelligence. It's going to be attended by multiple members of the Central Coast Blue Project team. It's down in Camarillo. There's some Japanese researchers that have state of the science knowledge, and they'll be making a presentation that day. I might make it down to that, but I'm not certain. But several members of the Central Coast Blue Project team will be down there. And currently, district staff is sharing past project performance and lessons learned with the City of Pismo Beach in their upcoming project to demolish their digester tank. They have an old digester, and we had recently done some rehabilitation to ours, and so they were asking how they might go about doing the demo work, and so I gave them our plans and specs and provided some ideas and guidance so that they could get that project let out. There were no plant tours, and tentative items, we'll have a first quarter budget review and discussion of district finances at the 11-2 meeting. And I did want to talk resolution regarding connection charges to accessory dwelling units. Mr. Collins and I have been working on a resolution in conjunction with some of the work that Arroyo Grande and Grover has done recently. You probably are aware that I think it's Assembly Bill 68. Does that sound right, Keith? There's a couple, actually, but I think it was 68 was one. Basically created some new rules for how accessory dwelling units get charged connection fees for all different kinds of stuff. Basically to allow for more ADUs to go in. So it kind of caps and limits our ability to charge certain fees. And so what we're doing is we're kind of silent. Our ordinance is silent on accessory dwelling units, and so we want to memorialize that and establish legal fees that we can charge these ADUs when they're being constructed. And so that's a forthcoming item that we hope to have on the 11-2. And with that, it concludes my district administrator's report.
I have a question.
Thank you. I was going to say, questions or comments?
Yeah, on that last one. So because I have an ADU in Arroyo Grande, I can't hear. I'm conflicted out of hearing that. We actually have four members who have ADUs, so we had to go to FPPC to draw straws. We ended up drawing straws. Do I have that same conflict here?
I don't think so, unless you're building a fifth or a sixth ADU.
No.
Then so, okay. You, these are for additional ADUs, connection charges, and capacity fees. So okay. I don't believe you'd have a conflict for this one.
So I guess just to follow up, if I decided to do an ADU now, then I would be potentially conflicted out if I was in the process while we were having that conversation. I don't plan to do that, but I just for clarification.
I believe you would.
Okay. Great. Okay, so the fact that you is already there makes it good. Okay. Awesome. Questions to my right?
None.
Very good. Maybe just a quick question and some more confirmation. During the shutdowns, our staffing levels are adequate so that people get appropriate time off and no fatigue concerns or safety concerns?
Yes, we, with the exception of Mr. Jones, everybody had been tended to, and I gave him the option whether he should attend tonight or not, and he chose to attend, which is fun. I kind of like that he's here. Yeah.
Applause.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very good. Good to hear that, and thank you for joining us. So, very good. So that concludes work on that item as well, or actually I guess I don't necessarily need to open it up to the public, but I will. Seeing no one come forward, I'll close it. And that concludes work on that item, which takes us to our board member communications as the ranking OCSD member in your house. Any questions?
No. Everything seems to be good. OCSD is working on water lines, and we do know that our sewer lines are next in line, but one step at a time. Yeah. I mean, next in line is maybe 5 years.
Right.
Yeah. But there's a need there.
So good questions, comments to my left.
Question. Can you please provide me with the first and last name of all the staff members who worked on that project that we gave applause for? Because I would like to, on behalf of AG, we can do a mayor's commendation. I'm sure that Jeff would want to do the same. And just commend each one of them and just... Like, I mean, that's legit, straight up, saved everybody money, took the bull by the horns. I mean, that's who we want, and I just want to do more than just give them applause here. They're probably sleeping right now, you know, so I'd like to do something like that for them. So can you get that to us?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah,
we can do the same for Oceana, too.
Okay. Yeah, we'll get that out.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
So. I know Oceana's done a couple of projects like that. And I think they were promised a new pickup truck. I don't know whether they ever got it or not. They saved that bridge that goes over by the Elks Lodge that goes over there. All of our lines had to be moved when that bridge was rebuilt. And there was a high bid there, and they took it upon themselves to take that underway, and it was extremely successful. Well, you know about it. Yeah.
Now Michael's going to want a new pickup truck.
Nice. So just board member communications for me is I don't think we've met since we had the joint meeting on Central Coast Blue, or have we? But anyway, we three cities of Pismo, Arroyo Grande, and Grover all met and did have an update on Central Coast Blue. Mr. Gent was in attendance there and heard and listened to all of that. So that project continues to move forward, and we'll continue to monitor it until it goes into construction and actually starts to provide water. And then just another update is that Grover did just update our annual sewer master plan with the assistance, I believe, of MKN. So thank you for that. And it did generate a couple projects that we'll probably reach out for more for notification than anything. I don't think it has anything to do with the district lines, but you might see some construction impacts during the course of that. Okay. That takes us to our closed session, where I'll turn to Mr. Collins to announce that, please.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Tonight, the board will be adjourning to closed session to discuss with legal counsel anticipated litigation pursuant to Government Code 54956.9D2.
Very good.
One case.
Very good. Thank you. I will go and open this up to the public, see if any member wants to come forward to speak on this item. Seeing no one come forward, I'll close it to the public, and we will recess into closed session. We'll just adjourn from there unless there's a reportable action.
Yes, and we do not anticipate any reportable action.
Okay. Very good. Very good. Thanks, everyone.